Today she's Masechta Bamatzi Daf Nun Beis. We're going to begin on Daf Nun Aleph on the Beis. Four lines from the bottom. The Mishnah. Kamatei Selach Seir. We've been learning the sugyos of Aino. Until now we've been speaking about Aino of merchandise, what the halachas and what the shiurim are. Now our Mishnah begins to discuss what is the halach of Aino of a coin. As we know, two words of introduction. One is, as we've said many times, in the times of Chazal, coinage wasn't like it is nowadays. Nowadays, a dollar bill doesn't represent that you have a dollar of paper. And certainly a $100 bill doesn't mean you have $100 you have a piece of paper that's worth $100. And the same by coins. A quarter is not worth necessarily 25 cents. But in times of Chazal, the currency, the coins, were worth the metal that they were made out of. And therefore, if a coin got worn out, it didn't have that value. Furthermore, the coins, the system was as follows. A seller was equal to 2 shekel. A shekel was equal to 2 dinar. A dinar was equal to 6 mor. A mor was equal to 2 punjin. And a punyan was equal to 2 iser. So now our Mishnah begins. Kamatei selach seira. How much does a seller have to be worn out? V'lo yehei b'ayno. That means even though the coin is worn out, it isn't considered that it's worn out to such a significant degree that there should be iser ayno. Ramei Omer. Ramei says, ab isoris iser ladinner. And if you do the math based on what I said in our introductory remarks, we're going to be down to 24th. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Abba Punyonis, Punyon Adina, which is a 12th. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shmein Abba Punyonis, Shmein Shnei Pijona Ladina, which is a 6th. Ad Mosai Mutalachsir, till when could somebody give back coin? And as the Rishonim point out, not only is it acceptable to give back a coin if you got a coin that was not worth the currency it's supposed to be worth. In other words, it's not only is it mayu, it's mutter l'chatchila. Going back to something we discussed earlier in the Masechta, we know that if somebody made a kinyan, even though it's not technically a valid kinyan, for example, I paid cash to some metaltlin, which we discussed so many times, is not a valid kinyan, and I'm not really the owner of this object, but we did learn that if either the seller or the buyer back out of the deal, there's a concept of a Misha Para, you're not supposed to back out of such a deal. Here, however, if somebody gave me a coin that isn't worth what it's supposed to be worth, I'm allowed to back out of the deal chatchila. How, till when do I have it? The krochim in the cities, akidei shiur l'shulchani, since there were banks, there were money changers available to evaluate the coins, you have that much time. The kfarim abe at Shabbosis. In kfarim, you have until Friday in villages. Why till Friday? Shaitim explained, because in the villages they didn't have the shops. So typically they would come into the city to do the shopping on Friday. And when they came into the city, there's two ways the Rishonim explained it. Either they would then go to the money changer once they were in town anyway to look at the coin. Another pshat is they would use the coin in buying, in their shopping, and they would be able to identify if the coin was worth what it was supposed to be worth or not. Imayu makira. But let's say you give me a coin, and then a year later, afila achash name asachaydish, even if after 12 months I identify that the coin is that you gave me is not worth what it's supposed to, the kabla mana, you should take it back. Ve'ein alav trumas. So again, the Mishnah is somehow hard to understand. On one hand it says that you should take it, on the other hand it says you shouldn't take it. And we'll discuss this more in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem. Ve'naislai ma'isa sheni, such a coin could be used for ma'isa sheni. Ve'ein achayshish, if you use such a coin, as we've discussed so many times and will continue, that you lottery deem Maisa Sheni, if such a coin is used for the redemption of Maisa Sheni, it may be used Shein Al Nefesh Ra. So the Rishonim have a machloikis. What does it mean when it says V'noisnul Maisa Sheni Veina Choshish? Some Rishonim say that the Mishnah is referring to a coin that didn't have the Shiroi Noah. It wasn't that worn out. And the Mishnah is saying, Del Chatchila, you could use such a coin to redeem Maisa Sheni. Other Rishonim explain that the Mishnah is referring to a coin that does have the shear of a Noah, and therefore the Mishnah is still teaching us we can use such a coin to redeem Maisa Sheni. And in that shot of the Rishonim, there's Machlokes, what does the Mishnah mean? Some Rishonim say that the Mishnah means you could use such a coin to redeem Maisa Sheni, but, the Mishnah is teaching us that you have to, of course, deduct the devaluation of the coin. And there are other Rishonim that say they could use the coin with its face value. And if somebody doesn't accept it, he's only a Nefesh Ra. What does it mean, Nefesh Ra? So I saw, the Zohar speaks about different bad character traits. And one of the bad character traits that the Zohar identifies is someone who's stingy. Someone who can't live with other people. Here, when I try to give you this coin, and you become a stickler, and you insist that you're not going to accept such a coin, Enel Nefesh Ra, you're in the category of people who are stingy, that the Zohar calls you a Nefesh Ra. The Taras Yisrael explains, what does the Mishnah mean, that up, even if it's a year later, it's 12 months later, I could come back with the coin? So the Taras Yisrael explains, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta Perek Eil Metzias, we have the concept of Yiyush, and the Taras Yisrael says what the Mishnah means to say here is that even after 12 months, where normally we would assume that there's Yiyush, the right thing to do is for you to take back the coin. There's a very interesting Shaila, which the Taz already discusses. I owe you $1,000. I go and I give you 10 $100 bills to pay off my loan. You come back to me and say that one of the $100 bills I gave you was a counterfeit bill. What is the halacha? So at first glance, we would all say, we've discussed this concept many times, the concept of bari v'shem bari odif, that if you come to me and you say, I owe you money, and I say, I don't remember if I do or I don't, bari v'shem bari odif, I'm obligated to pay the loan. So at first glance, we would say the same thing here. I paid you the money. I don't know if the money I gave you was counterfeit or not. If that $100 bill that you're claiming is counterfeit, not just claiming, you could prove is counterfeit, was amongst the $100 bills I gave you. So it's a bari v'shem, you're certain, I'm not. And we would say bari odif. Says the Taz that this is not a situation of bari v'shem and bari odif. And he explains. He says, why is the halacha the bari v'shem bari odif? Because he explains, if I owe you money, there's a chazaka that I owe you money, and therefore, if you're saying I didn't pay you, coupled, combined, with the chazaka that I owe you money, that's why I have to pay. Here, however, there is no chazaka that I owe you money, because as far as I'm concerned, I paid you. And therefore, says the Taz, here it's not a situation of bari v'shem and bari adif, and therefore, the halach is that you can't make me replace that $100 bill that you claim I gave you that was counterfeit. There are other achroinim that disagree with the Taz, but most Paiskim seem to follow the Taz's opinion. So therefore, the right thing the Paiskim say to do is that if you're concerned that, certainly not that I'm doing it deliberately, but if there's a concern that there's maybe something wrong with the money I'm giving you, it should be checked as I'm paying, and then we'll avoid any questions. Ask the Gemara. So our Mishnah began with Machlokes, how much is Daino by money? Ask the Gemara of Ramini, the Brice says, At Kamatei Eselech Seira via Daino, how much could the money be missing and there'll be a No? Amra Papa Lakash. So you see that as soon as you already have the Shiurim, it's already a situation of a No. Our Mishnah says, V'lo yehei bayanah, that once you have these shurim, you still don't have inah. So how do we reconcile the Mishnah with the Braisa? For the Mishnah, it's mashma, that if you have these numbers, the 24th or the 12th, it isn't a situation of inah. And from the Braisa, it seems, it is a situation of inah. Answers the Gemara, like Amra Papa, like Kasha. Tani didon, kachosha mimatam lamala. Our Tana is discussing what is money, when is the money still considered good money? And it keeps on saying it's good. Once we hit this number, the money is no good anymore. Tana Barah is just the opposite. Kachosha mimala mimata. He starts saying when money is devalued, it's not good. And he keeps on going down and down until we hit this, including this number. And as Tosfos explains, the machlokes between the Brais and the Tana, the Brais and the Mishnah, could actually be reduced to the concept of ad v'ad b'chlal or ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Our Mishnah's opinion is ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Everything is fine until you hit this number. Once you hit this number, the money is disqualified. The Brais is just the opposite. The money is no good, including this amount. Ask the Rishonim, why are we explaining the Brais and the Mishnah this way? Maybe the Mishnah and the Brais say that once we come to this number, the money's still good. So they explain, beautiful pshat. We learned a three-way machloikis, what is money that becomes disqualified, a 12th, a 24th, or a 6th. So Rav Shimon's opinion, and the Gemara is going to say this soon, is a 6th, like we found previously by all other areas of Einor. There, when we said a 6th, in the previous Mishnah is the opinion of the Chachamim, a 6th meant a 6th. So probably here when it says a 6th means a 6th also. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah b'selah the pligi, why over here when we have the seller, do we have a disagreement? As we just said, a 12th, a 24th, or a 6th. Or Mishnah b'selah the pligi, by talis everybody, the Chachamim hold it's a 6th. Answers the Gemara, Amarava, actually, the machlokes of our Mishnah says Rav is the same machlokes that we should have had there. Man Tana Talis. And who is the Tana in the previous Mishnayas that say that the Shir is a 6th? It's actually Rav Shimon's opinion. And Rameyer and Rav Yehuda would disagree in that Mishnah too. Abai says a different pshat. Talis, Achtos Mochel Inish. By Talis, even if I was overcharged up to a 6th, I don't really care. The Amri Inchi, people say, Oshech Legabech, steal from your back, V'os V'shav L'Kreisach. Oshech Legabech, steal to have something for your back, V'shavi, but when it comes for food, don't overspend. So people are prepared to overspend for their clothing, and therefore if the Einor was less than a 6th, it's alright. However, seller, when it comes to money, Kivin de loy sagale, you can't do with anything with money that's devalued. My machal people are particular. So the Rishonim ask obvious question. The Rishonim ask, what's the Gemara saying? That people are anxious to have nice clothing, and therefore they'll be prepared up to a 6th to accept overcharge. Ask the Rishonim, that we could say by clothing. What are we going to say by food? Einor is not limited to clothing. Furthermore, that we could say to the person who buys a suit. So the Gemara is saying that somebody who buys a suit is ready to overspend, to have nice clothing. But the seller isn't buying. But Einor, we know, goes, the Mishnah taught us, goes both ways, to the Moichan and Lekeach. So some Rishonim say, Loi Plug, that once Chazal established that there is no Einor for me to buy of a suit, then there's no Einor for the person selling the suit either. Others explain that the Pshat and the Gemara, the Pshat and the Gemara really is to be understood differently. The way to understand Pshat and the Gemara is like this. Money, if it's devalued, is useless. If I have money in my pocket, and I go to the store, I go anywhere, I can't use that money, so the money has no purpose to me. Clothing, food, nobody likes to be overcharged. Nobody likes to be cheated. However, he could use the suit. He could use the food. And therefore, there are different perspectives to the Einor of money versus to the Einor of other items. So our Gemara is teaching us that you should spend more on clothing than on food. Why? So Mefarshim give two explanations. One is, clothing is what makes an impression of who you are. Food, nobody knows what you eat. It doesn't make an impression. So therefore, clothing is more important. On the other pshat that I saw, is people don't buy new suits every day. So if you buy yourself, especially in those days, they didn't buy clothing that often. So if you buy yourself a suit, buy yourself something worthwhile. Food, you have to eat every day. So that's where you should try to control cost. However, the Paiskim do, of course, say that if a person is of limited means, he should first spend money on food, because that you need to live, before buying clothing, which are not that essential to life. Gufa. At kamatei sala chaser v'yehi b'ayna, at rameyam abi soros isla dinner, which as we explained is the 24th, Rabbi Yehuda medal pidyon, this pidyon of dinner, which is the 12th, Rabbi Shimon ayma, shmeina pidyonis, shnei pidyon of dinner, which is the 6th. Yes, okay. If there's more than that, Moichre b'shavya. You could only use it for what it's worth. At kama tipoches, how much could money go down in value via rishoy l'kaima, and you should still be allowed to hold on to it, and there shouldn't be concern that somebody's going to misuse the money. B'sela, when we're speaking about a seller at shekel, and as we said at the beginning of our shir, every seller has in it two shkolim. So sell, if it goes down to half its value, you could still hold on to it. The dinner, ad roiva. By dinner, until it goes down to a roiva. I think I'm going to explain this in a moment. Pachs mikan, isser. If it goes down after this by an isser, osser, you're not allowed to have it. And therefore, if you have money that becomes more devalued than what we just identified, harezel lo yimkirena, you're not allowed to sell it, loy l'tagar, not to a merchant, loy l'charem, is to an extortionist, v'loy l'harig, or not to a murderer, m'nei shimramim ba es acherim, because they use this money to cheat. This money doesn't have the proper value, but what they're going to do is force somebody to accept this money, and they'll cheat that person, and therefore you shouldn't be party to it, and therefore don't give them this money. So Mefarshim explain, we can understand why you shouldn't give the money to a charam or to a harug. These are tough individuals. And if they walk into my shop and they give me this money, I don't really have much of a choice but to accept it. So I shouldn't give them money. Somebody shouldn't give money to such individuals that they can help them to help them do something inappropriate. But why should you give money to a tagger? A tagger is an honest individual. He's a merchant. What's the concern? So I saw two pshatim in the Mefarshim. One pshat is that the tagger, the Ein Yitzchak says this pshat, that the tagger the Gemara is referring to here is a tagger who's a dishonest individual. And the Gemara is saying, don't give this money to a dishonest tagger, because you have to be concerned what he'll do with it. Others say a different pshat. Why would we assume that the merchant is a dishonest individual? And therefore they say a different pshat altogether. They say that the tagger is a very busy individual. A person who's running a store is very busy. People coming and going. So he, inadvertently, not deliberately, will give bad coins to people. And the people will, inadvertently, albeit, be cheated. And in fact, I saw a very interesting psak halacha based on this pshat. Let's say I'm a cipher. And I have different quality tefillin, mezuzahs. And I sell them to a store. So the Paiskim want to suggest that I should not sell different quality stam to a store where it's not easily identifiable, the different quality. In other words, if the difference between one mezuzah and another mezuzah is very identifiable, the lettering, the writing is, this is nicer than the other, there's no problem. But sometimes the differences are not that, you can't see. There are differences. It's a difference who the cipher is. It's a difference the Yerushimayim of the cipher. That's not something when you look at the parchment that you could see. And even if I'm selling it to an honest farm store, this farm store, the merchant, could get very busy. And he can't necessarily keep track of the differences. And therefore, I shouldn't give that to a busy individual. Name Shiram by Sacherim, Eli Kvena, what should you do with Shadda coin? Make a hole in it, we'll discuss that more. The Atlanta Bitsava Benoy Bitsava Bitai. To use for a pendant for your son or your daughter. In fact, the Paiskim use this Gemara to teach us a halacha, not really relevant to our sugyas. We know it is a din of La Yilbash. A man's not allowed to wear women's clothing. A woman is not allowed to wear men's clothing. But what happens if you have an article of clothing which could equally be worn by men and women? Is there an Isra Layubash? And the Pais going to suggest, based on the Gemara, there's no Isra Layubash. Here's saying we could use the same coin as a pendant for a boy or a girl, and there's no Isra of Layubash. Amama. So now the Gemara begins to analyze this price. We said, the seller, if the seller goes down in value at shekel, you're allowed to hold on to it. The dinner, if it goes down at roiva, you're allowed to hold on to it. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. Maish number seller at shekel. Why by a seller could you hold on to it till it only till it goes down half in value? Or maish number dinner, and why by a dinner could you hold on to it at roiva until it goes down to a quarter of its value? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, my roiva the tani. When the Braisa used the word roiva, it didn't mean roiva of a dinner. It meant roiva of a shekel, we said at the beginning, every dinner we said at the beginning of the shir has in it two shkolim. So it means half of a dinner, which is a shekel, but not less. My roiva the tani, roiva shekel. Rive of a dinner is a half a shekel, which means again half. Amar Rava, says Rava Daikanami, that's the right way to understand, that it means half of the dinner. The Tani Rava. Why did the Braisa use the word Rava? V'loi Tani Ravia? Shmamina. Ask the Gemara, Lamli Lamitin Ladinah B'Shekel. But if that's what it means, a Rava Shekel, so why do we say a dinner? And we said it means a roiva shekel, which is a half a dinner. We should have said a half a dinner, and we wouldn't have any question. Answers the Gemara, Milsa Agav Orcha Kamashmon. The Braisa wants to teach us, Dika dinner, the osim a shekel. That sometimes you start with a shekel, but the shekel gets devalued to half, which is a dinner, and you're allowed to hold on to it. Because it's Messiah Le Ravami, which actually supports what Ravami said. Dama Ravami, dinner haba mishekel. If you start off with a shekel, but it got worn out, and now it's only worth a dinner, mutal kaima. And similarly, however, a dinner haba misela is already too worn out. It's less than half, and it's a quarter, usla kaima. Why are you not allowed to hold on to it? So Rishonim explained. When you have a coin, the diameter of the coin will always remain the same. It's only the thickness. So if it gets worn out to half, that people will see. But once it gets worn out more than half, it's hard to identify. And because it's hard to identify, it might be really worn out even more than a half, but somebody may not understand that and therefore inappropriately use it. Pox mikan usser. So the Braisa said, if it went down more than an isser after this amount, usser. Ask the Gemara, my comma. And the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is beautiful. We just explain that we start with this coin, and it goes down. We started with a seller, and it got worn out to a half, which is now equal to a shekel. I'm allowed to hold on to it and use it as a shekel. Then the Braisa continues to say that after it got worn out to that amount, an extra isser, I have to dispose of it. What after dispose of it then? I should have to dispose of it immediately after it gets worn out, more than half. Amar Abaye Hachkamer. Pachs a seller, yois mechtei ino. Isser, if it's a seller, got worn out more than the shear of ino, whatever the shear of ino is, we learned in the Mishnah, also. Ask the Gemara, that doesn't make sense either. Amle Rava, ahiocha filamashunami. If the seller is worn out more than the shear of ino, then you should have to dispose of it. Ela Amar Rava, pachs a seller, isla dinner. If the Braisa is teaching us that if you have a seller and that seller got worn out at the ratio of an isser to a dinner, usser, that is a seller that you're not allowed to hold on to. Because with stomach Rameya, our Braisa is teaching us that the halacha is like Rameya, that once a coin gets worn out to the degree of a 24th, you're not allowed to hold on to that coin anymore. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, seller Shnifsala, if you have a coin that got worn out, the skinner. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand Veskina. Some say Veskina means that you decided. Others say Veskina means that you actually physically did something with it. Shei Shoyka by Meshkalis, that now you're not going to use it as a coin because it's disqualified as a coin, but you're going to use it as a weight. So since it's usable as a keli, anything that's usable as a keli is tamei, is susceptible to kabbalah's tumah. At kama tipaches, continues the Mishnah, how much could get worn out for Yerushal l'kaima, and you can still hold on to it? L'sela shnei denarim, pachs mikan. Less than that, yokets. You have to dispose of it. Yes, okay, my. What's the halacha if it didn't get destroyed to that degree? Omer of Halona, pachs mikan yokets, yes, okay, yokets. So where do Rishayim explain, most Rishayim, that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, explain Rav Huna's shot is like this. Our Braisa told us before that a seller could be cut down, could be worn out to half, and it could be used as a, and it could be used. The Braisa is teaching us, say the Rishayim, Rav Huna is telling us, you have to have a situation that it goes directly from a seller to a shekel. But let's say you have something, it's more than a shekel, it's worn out that it's worth less than a shekel, certainly you have to get rid of it. Furthermore, says Rav Huna, let's say it got worn out from a seller, not all the way down to a shekel, that didn't get worn out 50%, let's say it got worn out 60%, 70%, Rav Huna will say you also have to get rid of it. The only time you can hold on to it is if it got worn out exactly from 100% to 50%. Rav Ami Amar, Pachs Mikain, if it got worn out more than 50%, Yokuts, yes, okay, 40%, 30%, Yikayim. You can still hold on to it. I made a mistake when I explained Rav Huna's pshat. Rav Huna meant to say that just like when it got worn out by 60%, you have to get rid of it, so too when it got worn out only by 30 or 40, since somebody may use it as if it got worn out by 50%, you also have to dispose of it. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa said, yes, okay, we spoke about the seller that got worn out, Mocher B'Shavya, where it didn't get worn out 50%, you could sell it. My laugh, Shepichsa Yosu Mechdei Nosa, that it got worn out more than the shear of Aino, but not up to 50%. And the price is saying that you don't have to get rid of it, you should just sell it at its value. So tomorrow, no. Why? What the Braisa means to say is that Katil Pichsa Mechdei Nosa, Mocher B'Shavya. What the Braisa is saying is like this. So now we add another wrinkle. We have another category. If it got worn out below the shear Aino, which our Mishnah identified either 12th or 24th or 6th, you could sell it as if it's a fine coin. If it gets worn out from the shear Aino to 50%, Rav Huna is going to teach us you have to dispose of it. Once it gets worn down to 50%, you could use it, provided that you are honest and use it as if it's worth half of what it really is. Once it gets worn out more than 50%, again, you have to get rid of it. Meisvei asked the Gemara, says another braisa, at kama tepachis, v'yirushal l'kaima, if it gets worn out, how much can you hold on to it, b'sela at shekel, that it got worn out up to a shekel? My laugh, isn't the braisa teaching us, the pachis porta porta, that the Braisa is teaching us that we start a seller, and this seller, which is the normal situation, got worn out a little bit at a time. As long as it didn't get worn out more than 50%, I could keep it, use it, just be honest. I, Rav Huna, said, we just explained a moment ago, that once it's past the shear I know, if it's not 50%, if it's that shear, you have to dispose of it. So tomorrow, loy. What it means is the nafla nur of urchis b'chad zimna. Rav Huna is teaching us as follows. Again, to repeat, if it started as a seller and it got worn out less than the shear I know, you could have it. You could use it at its full value. If it's in the category between the shear I know and 50%, you can't use it. You have to dispose of it. If it's down to 50%, so how could it ever happen, asked the Gemara, doesn't it happen a little bit at a time? Says no, it doesn't, says the Gemara, no, it doesn't necessarily happen a little bit at a time. It could happen that in one time it fell into the fire and the fire burnt off of it half of its value, exactly. That's what the Braisa is talking about. Amar, so we said that if the coin is not usable, yikvenev yitlenev b'tzava b'noi b'tzava b'itoi. Make a hole in it and use it as a pendant for your son or your daughter. Ask the Gemara, v'rmini, lo yasa mishko be mishko loisov. You shouldn't use this coin as a weight. V'lo yizikrena ben gru toisov. Don't throw it out between the scraps. And the Rishonim say, why should you throw it out between the scraps? Because sometimes there are people who go through the scrap metal and they'll see a coin, not recognizing that this coin is a disqualified coin, they'll come to use it as a coin. And don't use it as a pendant for your son or daughter. Either grind it up, or melt it, or break it, and the Rishonim explain that this is a circumstance where you have to not only take it to the Yam, but you have to specifically take it to Yam HaMelech, that it should never come back into circulation. But here we say that you can't use it as a pendant if it becomes disqualified, and we've been learning till now that you can. Answers the Gemara, Amar Avelozov, Amar Leir, Amar Afuna, Amar Avelozov, Loi Kasha. Kam be'emtza kam anatzad. It makes a difference where you make the hole. If you make the hole right in the middle of the coin, so it's obvious that this coin is not usable, and nobody's going to use it as a coin. But sometimes if you make the hole only on the side of the coin, it isn't that noticeable, and people may accidentally use it as a coin when it's indeed disqualified. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah says, Ad Masai Mutal Hachzer, if somebody receives a disqualified coin, until when can he give it back? The Krochim at Shiro L'Shechani, in the Krochim you can give it back until you show it to the money changer, the Kfar Man Avi Shabbosis. We explained what Avi Shabbosis mean. Ask the Gemara, Maishna B'Sela. Ask the Gemara, why by a Sela does the Mishnah make a distinction between people who live in the cities versus people who live in the villages? Or Maishna B'Talas D'Loi Maflig. Why by a Talas does the Mishnah not make such a difference? Amr Abaya, answers Abaya, Kitna Namimus Nisim Batalis. When we learned in the previous Mishnah, the shear of a talis, the Chum said, Achir la Tagra la Krovai, it also means Bekrochim Tanan. It means in the city. And indeed, according to Abaya, a talis that is sold in a village, you'll have to wait until you get to the city. Ravama, talis, Kolinish Kama Begavei. A talis, everybody could identify its value. You don't have to go to the big city to find somebody to assess its value. Seller, but when it comes to identifying the value of the money, kiven the lav kol inish kimla begavei, you have to be an expert. El shulchani, hilkach, bekrochim, dike shulchani, in the krochim, where you have a shulchani always available to you. The shear is at shear shulchani until somebody who gets this money can go show it to him. The kfarim, but in the villages, the lekha shulchani, they don't have a shulchani always available. At Arabic Shabbosis, the shear is until Friday, as we explained in the Mishnah, the Sak and Lashukah, people come to the city and they could show it to the shulchani. The Mayim Akira, if I recognize that this is the coin that you gave me. So the Mishnah said, I can give it back to you even 12 months later. Ask the Gemara, where is the Mishnah referring to? Hecha, Iba Krochim, if we're referring that you gave me a coin in the city, Ha'amrit, we just finished explaining that the shear is at shear l'shulchani, until I have enough time to get to show it to a money changer. Iba Kvarim, Ha'amrit, Arav Shabbosis, but not a year. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Chizda, Midish Chassidus Shanukan. The Mishnah is talking about a Midish Chassidus. The halacha, if we follow the strict halacha, is Shir al-Shulchani or till Friday. But if somebody is a Chassid, and the Rav Shalim explain what is the definition of a Chassid, sometimes we distort the explanation. The explanation of a Chassid is somebody who's Mevater, somebody who's willing to give up, even something that he doesn't have to give up. There, even 12 months later, if it's indeed my coin that I gave you, and it wasn't a good coin, I should take it back. Ask the Gemara, let's try to understand the Mishnah further. Yoch Eim Sefer, Ein Lo Yalo of Terumas. But the person has a complaint. What does that mean? Leman. What does that mean that he has a complaint? Il Chosid, loy kibule kablamene v'loy teremus tavale. So this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Tremendous mussar. Rashi explains the Gemara like this. That the Gemara assumes to be saying as follows. I'm a chassid. So I gave you a bad coin. You only come back with this bad coin 12 months later. But I'm a chassid. So I take it back. The Mishnah says, but I only have a complaint. Says the Gemara. What does a complaint mean, says Rashi? That I'm going to tell people what kind of a person you are. That I gave you a bad coin. And when do you bring back the bad coin? A year later. Why did you wait a year? Says the Gemara. That's not a chassid. A chassid who's, I'm such a fine person, and I'm willing to take back this disqualified coin a year later. But then, what am I going to do with that? I'm going to speak badly about another Jew. Look at that person. He gives me back a coin a year later. Don't be a chassid. Don't take back the coin. If that's the price of being a chassid, that you're going to speak lashon hara about another Jew, better don't take it back. Follow the strict letter of the law. Ella, lahech de kablamenei. The person that I took it for asked the Gemara, lebastim kablamenei turim stavalei. If I'm a fine person and you bring me back a coin a year later and I take it back from you, you're going to say a bad thing about me? You're not going to say anything bad about me. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Says the Gemara. Let's say I'm not the chassid, and you bring me back a coin after 12 months, and I tell you I learned the Mishnah. I came to the Daf Yomi Shir, and the Mishnah says that after Shiur L'Shulchani in the city, or after Friday in the village, I don't have to take it back. And I'm going to follow the strict letter of the law. You may say what kind of person I am, because a Jew has the obligation to be a chassid. A Jew has the obligation to be nice and say, if I gave you a bad coin, I should take it back. And if I didn't, you have a right to say that I didn't act as I should have. Interesting, machlokes achrayim. Here we're saying, clearly in the Gemara, as we finish the piece of Gemara, that the right thing to do is to be a chassid and take back the coin a year later even. What is going to be the halacha if we talk not about a coin? We talk about merchandise. I know it's not strictly on a coin. And I don't take back, and you bring back merchandise that you bought from me a year ago, and you tell me it's defective. Is there a point in me accepting that, or is it only by coins? Machlokes achrayim. Some achrayim say it's even by every item. It's not limited to coins. Others say, buy a coin. Money is money. It doesn't go out of style. But anything else, you can't expect somebody to take back a year later. And you could use this coin for Maisa Sheni to redeem Maisa Sheni. Amra Papa, Shmamina, Hayman the Mukim Mazuzi. If somebody is particular that he doesn't want to use only perfect coins, Mikri Nefesh Ra. So Rishayim ask, what is Rav Papa teaching us that we didn't learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that if the coin is acceptable halachically, I should accept it. If I don't accept it, I'm a nefesh ra. So Rav Papa is repeating the Mishnah. So Rishonim say that what Rav Papa is coming to say is that we're not talking only about a seller. We're talking about all items. And all items, the right thing to do is to take back what you're supposed to take back, accept what the halacha tells you to accept, and if you don't, you're nefesh ra. Vahani mili, however says the Gemara, you could only expect a person to take back a coin where he could use it. So Mefarshim explain the Gemara this way. Certainly, if the coin is perfect, why wouldn't I take it back? And if the coin is not perfect and it's not usable, why should I have to take it back? So Mefarshim explained that our Gemara is referring to a situation that's Yoytza Yidei Tchak. It's usable, but it isn't as easy to be used as a perfect coin. And the Mishnah is teaching it. As long as it's usable, the right thing to do is to take it back. Mesaila l'chizkiyah, says the Gemara, this seems to support what Chizkiyah says. Dama chizkiyah, ba lefarta, if I have a coin, and we discussed this earlier in Amasechta, I had my sasheni produce, I redeemed it on a silver coin, and now I come to Yerushalayim, but I don't want to have silver coins. I want to break that silver coin, change it into copper coins to have small change. The halacha is parta k'shuv b'shavya. We take the value of this coin as it is, and that's how it's changed into copper coins. K'shvechalo b'chalna b'yofa. But when I come to use a coin to redeem my sesheni, so the Gemara assumed that what Chizki is saying is that I could take this silver coin, even though it's not a perfect silver coin, but since it's of that denomination, and trade it at face value to redeem my sesheni with it. Ask the Gemara, lememra the sover Chizkiya, the mezalzel of my sesheni. So Chizki is telling us that we have a silver coin that really isn't in great shape, and really isn't worth what the face value of it says. And Chizki is saying that I could use it to redeem my sesheni at its face value, which is a degradation of my sesheni. Ask the Gemara, that's not consistent with Chizki's opinion. Because let's say I have my sesheni produce, but this my sesheni produce that I have isn't worth a pruta. So now I have a real challenge. How could I redeem it? I don't even have a pruta worth. Which means as follows. And this is going to be the basis of tomorrow's shiur. So we need to understand this well. I have my sesheni. And I have a coin. Let's use a simple example. I have my sesheni that's worth a pruta. And I have a coin that's worth a pruta. So how do I redeem my sesheni? I take the value of the my sesheni, and if it's my own my sesheni, as we learned, we have to add a fifth, and that is the amount that I redeem on the coin. Says Chizkiya, never assume that when I use the coin, it doesn't have to be a pruta, it could be more than a pruta, to redeem my sesheni, I used up every last drop of money in the coin. Klal Yisrael, when they redeem my sesheni, are generous. And they aren't exact, because the repercussions are serious. Because if the redemption isn't correct, I cheated my sesheni. So we could be comfortable and confident, says Chizkiya, that if I took a coin to redeem my sesheni, I have some leftover money in the coin. And now when I have a small amount of my sesheni, and I don't have a coin that I could redeem it on, I could take my old coin that certainly has some left over in it and use that for the redemption of this small amount of my sesheni. But what is the basis of Chizkiya's approach? The basis of Chizkiya's approach is that people treat my sesheni in a very serious, generous way. And he was saying just the opposite. We could take this poor coin and use it to get more than the coin is worth for the redemption of my sesheni. Two contradictory statements of Chizkiya. Says the Gemara, that's not what he means. My biyofis, what he means is betray yofa, betyrus yofa. That if we have a coin that was devalued, it sort of won out, I could use that coin for my sesheni, but not more than it's worth. And the chiddush is the trey zila loy mezalzalinen. That means I can't use it and also use it at its face value, tells us Chizkiya, I can't. But to use it at its real worth, I can. So not an obvious question that the Rishonim ask is what Chizkiya is telling us is that I can't use it at its face value, but I could use it at its real value. That's not a chiddush. Why should I not be able to do it? I'm not cheating anybody. Answer the Rishonim. We've learned, and we're going to review some of these halachas in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, that the Torah, the Raisa, is very particular what can or can't be used for the redemption of Maaseh Sheni. We spoke about an asimon, a slug, not being able to be used. So we would think, says Chizkiya, that if you have a coin that's somewhat worn out, and it isn't worth its face value, it should be in the category of an asimon, and can't be used, tells us Chizkiya, you can use it. You can't use it for more than its face value because you can't degrade my sesheni to take a coin that isn't worth that much and make believe it's worth more than it's really worth and use it for the redemption of my sesheni.